adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. In Juicebox, featured on the coolest campus and community radio station, CITR 101.9 on the FM dial, fresh and live in the Lotus Land of Vancouver, BC. Or maybe you're one of our online listeners or podcast listeners from juiceboxradio.com. Anyway, you've come to share the special hour for us, and we're glad to have you. If you have something you'd like to contribute to this conversation tonight, please feel free to give us a call at 604-822-2487.
Oh, looks like we have a caller already. It's probably our guest.
Ah.
Something tells me it is. I'm going to answer it.
Let's see.
So, what are we doing? Oh, we've got two calls.
We've got two calls. I love it.
Hello,
actually, it might be Jezebel and our guest.
Right. You're on Juicebox. Hello.
Julia.
Hi.
Darling.
Hi, who is this?
I'm going to make it. It's Hans.
Hi, Hans.
Listen, I'm not gonna make it. It's just the weather is too ugly.
Okay, well, I think you taught us how to put the BBC on, so all the lucky listeners are gonna listen to the BBC after.
Okay, guys, Caroline, Julia, I love you.
Oh, thanks, honey.
We love you too, darling.
Okay, bye.
Bye, bye.
You're on the air.
Yes, hi. It's Ray Schwartz from Red Light Center calling for.
For Juicebox Radio. Fabulous.
Indeed.
Glad you've called. We haven't had a chance to introduce the topic tonight, but I'm glad you're on the line. So we're just gonna go right ahead with the interview. Tonight, listeners, thanks for tuning in. And tonight we're talking about Cyber Red Light Center and online cyber sexuality.
Which it is taking the social networking scene to a completely different sexy curve, to a whole new world.
Absolutely.
Right on. So I had a chance to sort of peruse the site today, Ray, and thank you, Ray Schwartz, for calling in. Where are you calling from? Can you tell our listeners?
I'm calling from Southern California.
Oh, fabulous.
I bet you're not snowed in.
No, I'm not. But, I love Vancouver. We have Some of our top people are in Vancouver, and it's really kind of our home.
Nice. Right on. So we haven't had a chance to sort of
tell our listeners.
Tell our listeners a little bit about what the show is about tonight. And so maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit about what it is that the Red Light Center is about.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do that. I should also mention, and I don't know if you're set up for it, but one of the people that works with us, Jezebel, will be calling in very shortly as well.
Yeah, I think we can put her on another phone line, actually. I've never done that before, but I see two phone entrances on the board, so I think we can probably have a couple of people calling in at the same time.
That would be great, because she's really sweet. And
we'll give her a shot.
Okay. It'd be great to have a female perspective as well.
I guess the easiest thing to say is that Red Light Center is a whole new way to experience virtual reality and sexual reality, and it's a whole bunch of fun. It's difficult to describe because it is so vast and so totally amazing, but essentially it provides the opportunity for people that firstly want to be young and gorgeous and try things that maybe they've never wanted to try for real. They get a chance to do it in a totally safe environment, and they get to play and experience and interact with real people from all over the world through their avatars, which of course are, for people that aren't familiar with, three-dimensional versions of themselves that they customize, and you can be any ethnicity, you can be any height, you can be any wear any clothing, and essentially traverse this amazing world where you can go dancing, you can go swimming, you can have sex, you can interact with other people. There's a multiplicity of things and social entertainment things that are going on all the time.
What made you decide to start?
You know, it's an interesting question. I have a very good buddy who's my partner, and his name is Brian. And Brian and I were in Amsterdam having a fun time about 4 years ago.
All right.
And we had recently left one of the very fine coffee houses for people that are familiar with the Amsterdam.
Smoking weed, you mean?
Pardon me?
The coffee houses where you smoke weed, or what kind of coffee house?
We have one here.
And we came out, and we were wandering around, and we said, you know, we need to create this virtually so the whole world can come and enjoy what's here. And it's taken 4 years, but we've done it.
How long has it been online?
Well, we've been building it for 4 years. We've been kind of, you know, mostly in testing for the last 6 months or so. We've been not marketing it, but allowing people to become aware of what we're offering. And we've got over 150,000 registered users without us even telling anybody about it yet. In fact, this is the first interview that I've done.
Oh, really? Thank you.
Yeah,
and
I'm so happy to be able to do it with you guys in Vancouver. It's great.
Thank you.
In fact, we're going to be doing a lot of live events in Yaletown and other areas with live bands and whatnot. And we're going to, it'll all be broadcast in the world because we have streaming video. So you can go, you know, for the people that don't want to brave the snowstorm and the cold weather,
they can
they'll
do
be
it
able to
home.
Be at home and go into one of our clubs and catch the bands and go dancing.
Nice.
Wow. So I think some of the things that Caroline was preparing in her interview tonight, as I was reading through it, thinking it was very well done, was around the honeymoon period and how sometimes that can be a challenging part of getting to know somebody in relationship.
Absolutely.
And so this virtual world that you're creating, you can create your own avatar, which is like this cartoon-like character or a 3D.
Not really cartoon.
3D?
It's really a very virtually realistic. I mean, it's amazingly realistic. The amount of work that we've done in creating it's state of the art. I mean, these avatars look, you know, when you're in the world, they're real people. And so, when they're not wearing any clothes, it's really hot.
So are you thinking, like, are there genitals? Like, I mean, do they have,
absolutely,
like, a variety of labia, or are all the labia the same?
It is,
like, are the penises and balls?
You've got to check it out. It's really, really realistic. Most of the animation that's in the world is motion capture, so it's extremely real. We've got, you know, teams of people. We've got over 50 people working on this project, and mostly engineers, animators, graphics people that are, you know, making this thing live, breathe, and be real.
So, let's see, Ray. In your own words, tell us about this. Like, in 100 words or less, how would you describe this world, this cyber world, the Red Light Center?
Well, I think it's a place that you can go to do anything that you would do in the real world, only you can do it with a lot less effort, with a lot less hassle, and a lot more fun. And let me just elaborate just a little bit on that.
Yeah, please do.
Mm-hmm. First of all, being, I've known a lot of wonderful women in my life, and no matter how gorgeous they are, they never think they're gorgeous enough.
Mm-hmm.
They're always worried about that extra 5 pounds or 20 pounds or whatever it is, which is, you know, mostly in their mind, but whatever. And when if they're, after a hard day's work or whatever, they're going to go out and they're going to decide to, you know, do something for entertainment. They've got to come home from work. They've got to do, you know, have dinner, put themselves together, and you know, I don't have to tell you, and most women understand that it's a hassle. And then to go and drive somewhere, particularly if it's bad weather, and then you go there and you find out there's nobody interesting and it's not all that much fun, and then mm-hmm. there's a whole night.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Red Light Center, all you do is you log on and you go in, and there's always people there. And they're there for the same reason. They're there to have fun. And everybody is gorgeous because they get to select how they want to look. So for their, you know, they feel very confident and safe and anonymous because, you know, they basically are there. Nobody knows who they really are, so they don't have to worry about somebody calling them in the middle of the night or chasing them home or bothering them in any way. If somebody does say anything that they don't like, they can hit the ignore button, and the person no longer can even see them.
Mm.
And they're in an even playing field. You know, in as much as they all look great, the differences then come down to who's got the better sense of style and picking the right, because there are an infinite number of combinations of clothing styles and hairstyles and makeup and you know, how tall do you want to be, how big do you want your bust to be, and
mm-hmm.
you know, you get to select all that to the point where, you know, that all of a sudden is not a factor anymore.
Okay. What do you mean it's not a factor anymore?
Well, it's not a factor in that you don't have to worry that your real persona is not good enough, because you can be whoever you want to be.
Okay, well, it definitely sounds sexier than MySpace, and I'm a huge MySpace.
By a long shot.
By a long shot, Ray says.
One of the questions...
And another thing that I should mention, which I think is very important, is that any form of sexual contact has got to be only with adults and only consensual.
Good. No, I was wondering about that. The other thing I was going to ask is, because when you log on, you're able to set up your profiles and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was a complete, I am a complete virgin to the site, like we've gone on to take a look and things like that, but say I was logging on for my very first time and I was setting up my profile. Could you keep your profile, like, do people use it as well to meet people outside? Or, because I love the fact that it's a fantasy world where you can indulge, but, and I think we've got a caller as well.
Yeah, Jezebel has called in, so we can take her on to the interview.
Great, great. Yeah, you'll love her. She's a real sweetheart.
We're going to try having her on air right now. Hi, can you hear us, Jezebel?
Yes.
And Ray, are you still on? I think we lost Ray.
He'll
have to call back. We have her, though, so we're going to try it again. Hopefully Ray will call right back. So, hi, Jezebel. Thank you for calling into Juicebox. And we were talking about the Red Light Center.
And we're talking about just setting up profiles on the site. Have you yourself set up a profile on the site?
I sure have.
And?
It is basically the heart of the existence on RLC.
Okay.
Which is Red Light Center for short.
Nice. You see, I'm sorry, I just disconnected Jezebel, and I'm wondering if Ray, are you on? I've just dropped both of our interviewees.
Oh, no.
Isn't that fabulous? Hopefully one or both of them will call back again. I have never tried to have two people on the air at the same time, so I don't really know how that works. Hopefully one of them will
call us back and we can
pick up the conversation.
Where we were left off.
So one of the things we didn't have a chance to talk about before our callers called in tonight was just sort of the difference between cyber dating and kind of online dating and phone call dating and that kind of thing. So
is this Ray?
And who is calling in now?
It's Ray.
Hi, Ray. Sorry.
Thank goodness.
We're sorry.
We lost you. And I tried to have both of you on at once. And from the information I have on how to take calls and put people on air, I only see how to get one of you on the air. So.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, I apologize to Jezebel. Perhaps, Jezebel, if you're listening, you can call in while we're on a break. And we're going to have a song in about probably 15 minutes.
Sure.
Why doesn't she try calling back if she's listening at the moment? And we'll try to figure out having both of you at the same time. Sounds a little better than trying to keep losing both of you and having dial tones and things like that. So
works for me.
So, Caroline, you were asking a question to Ray before he
was asking
him.
About setting up a profile. Mm-hmm. What type of advice would you recommend for somebody who is coming in, they've never tried this before, and they want to meet somebody?
Well, I think that it depends a lot on what their purpose of being there is. First of all, if they're there, as most people are, just to have fun and have virtual fun experience, then obviously they can create their profile to be whoever they want to be. Most people we are finding are really putting in honest profiles. I mean, obviously there's no information in terms of email, and there's no information in terms of how they're going to be able to get in touch with them other than through the world. But for the most part, it's really what a person wants. The advantage is, we're certainly not considering ourselves to be a dating site, although we've had
people getting together.
I think about a dozen marriages in the world already.
Really?
Virtual marriages.
Okay.
And we've had a number of people, and I know of at least one because they've told us about it, that met in the world and eventually, not eventually, but within a couple of months, wound up getting married for real.
Oh, wow.
So there are people meeting for real, and the reason that it's so much better than, like, I'm single right now. And,
okay.
And I went through all the dating, you know, not to be named sites that are out there. And, you know, they're good and bad, and I'm sure a lot of people have tried them. The problem is that you're basing everything on a picture, which you don't know really whether that picture is even real, and you're basing it on their profile, and you don't even know if they wrote it.
Gotcha.
The advantage here is that you get to connect with people and talk to them in the world and really get to know them. You know, you get to go out on a date. You can go dancing together. You know, really kind of get a handle before you ever have to make any kind of commitment to even exchange email addresses.
Okay.
So it puts that extra layer of comfort and that extra layer of,
she's
wow,
on.
This person's really cool or they're not.
Cool.
And a lot of people are very happy just to have it maintained as a virtual relationship. Some of them want to take it to the next step, but at least they have a better handle on who they're dealing with.
When I was on your website, I noticed that you've got welcome nights that you have once. It looks like it was about once a week. So for that, so that would be something for, like, say, Julie and I went on. What exactly happens during those nights?
Well, we have a number of social events that are going on all the time. I mean, we have
the movie nights.
Basically, people that's all they do is create these different social events that. Almost every night of the week, there's something going on
that
provides more than just a reason to go there, as if all the stuff that there wasn't enough. But we have movie nights. Movie nights are really fun, and we run old classic movies. And the reason they're fun, we run them in one of our theaters, and people make comments like that Mystery Theater 3000 thing, and they are hilarious.
Yeah, it's a lot of
fun. Oh, here's Jezebel, by the way. We managed to get her on. There's her lovely voice.
Hey, we're just talking about the
movies, and they'll leave in.
Pass it over to you.
Right. There's so much. You know, you have your live DJs, there's scavenger hunts, there's weddings.
I was wondering about the weddings. Would those be virtual weddings like you're mentioning earlier, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're mentioning that there was quite a few of those that have already happened. And I noticed on the calendar there are a few scheduled coming up, too.
Yeah,
and we've even had a gay wedding.
Oh, really?
Very good. So, hey,
it's legal here.
It's very legal in Canada. Yeah, Jezebel, before we were interrupted, before I dropped you, and I'm sorry about that. I'm just figuring this out for the first time, putting two people on the air at the same time. We figured it out now, and thank you for joining us. Caroline was asking when you first called if you have done your own avatar, if you've done your own personality on site before, and you were saying that yes, you have. So, could you tell us a little bit more about your involvement in the Red Light Center?
Absolutely. You know, when you create an avatar, it's basically an extension of yourself.
Okay.
And when you make your profile, as with any other program on the computer, you know, you're representing yourself. So
or not.
Along with,
or not.
Along with your profile,
right?
You're also making your avatar.
Isn't it also like a part of what you're not? Like things that, about yourself that you wish you had? Like, I know you say that it's a part of who you are, but maybe who you
you're
are
exactly
on the inside,
right,
and maybe not so much on the outside.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, it also represents a part of you that you might not be able to represent in the real world, you know, be it because you're shy, be it because you don't feel maybe you don't look the right way, maybe you're afraid of social settings, things like that, you know. So you're creating what you wish you were if you had the ultimate, you know, plastic surgeon and, you know, all kinds of cool stuff like that. It's a lot of fun able to sit there and create yourself.
I think also, like, if you want to just maybe get into some parts of you that yourself that you never could be, like, I'm a white woman and, you know, average build, et cetera, but maybe I wanted to have super small breasts or be black. You know, I've always wanted to be a black woman. I could be that. So, or speak another language or whatever the case may be.
Yes,
so I think
a lot of times as well, people want to, a lot of the women we have gotten feedback from are curious as to what it would be like to be with another woman.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't really want to do it in the real world.
Or they're afraid to and just don't know what it's going to be like. They're afraid of the pussy, the taste, whatever, all that. But they can kind of imagine it would be a hot thing to do. So, yeah, it sort of gives them a chance to practice it, I guess, a little bit. Is that part of the benefit?
Exactly.
You know, I've also dabbled, you know, everyone does. You know, you'll find the straightest man in the world will go on there and he'll dabble in something that is taboo in real life, you know, but at the same time, he's also exploring who he is or who he might, you know, wish he was.
Give me an example in terms of what you mean by taboo. Do you mean in terms of exploring a relationship with another guy, or do you mean more of a violent thing, like raping a woman, where it'd be more of a rape fantasy kind of deal?
Let me jump in on that one, only to say that it would be the former, and only because we don't, we do draw the line. We have SMBD. We have almost every sex act imaginable that's within the realm of acceptability.
Okay.
There's
cool.
No violence of any kind.
I have never experienced
there's
anything
no,
violent.
There's no animals. There's no children.
Okay. So no bestiality and no pedophilia.
No.
And
no,
that's people are going to have to go elsewhere.
That's what you guys sort of draw the line at. So so what I'm understanding now then is that you manage the avatars a little bit as far as what they create and what they do?
Well, they can only create from within the context of what we provide the tools for them to create with.
Okay, so it's almost like certain storylines?
That's a big difference between us, I guess, and something like Second Life, where people create whatever they want.
Okay.
Oh, Second Life. So they can make themselves a baby on Second Life?
Exactly.
And then see who wants to engage with them.
Or do it, if they wish, without permission.
Okay.
That's impossible in our world.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they could be a baby and be doing things with a dog just to sort of, you know, entertain the cyber world and see what kind of people are interested in watching them or engaging with them. And
I haven't spent enough time in Second Life to really know.
Oh, okay.
They do that kind of
Never
stuff.
Never heard of it.
I know that the capabilities are there for people to create pretty much whatever they want, whereas in our world, it's very limited to where we draw the line.
Well, it sounds like it's a safe space to explore different types of fantasies, which things like in real life that, I mean, you worry about things like having safe sex, for example, being fearful of pregnancy, like things that are, that we worry about, you know, when you get involved in a relationship and there are things that you're concerned about, those are things you wouldn't have to worry about when you're online. Would that be correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's no disease, there's no pregnancy, there's no forcing you to do anything that you don't want to do, and there's no stalking.
How has the red light, because you mentioned it's been for 4 years that you've been working on it in the last 6 months, it's really, you've been still testing different parts. How has it evolved from how you originally thought about it and conceptualized it 4 years ago?
Well, I think the real limitation for us back then has been just the technology. And things like, because it's such a complex program, you need a relatively recent PC to run it.
Okay.
If you have something that was built 10 years ago,
Anyway, does.
I've noticed that Red Light Center, I've tried on a couple of computers now to download the software and to actually enable myself to explore it in, you know, in preparation for the show tonight, and I found that it was taking like 20 minutes, half an hour to download it, even in the fast computers I have.
You know, it's a big program.
Okay, so people need to have
once you've downloaded it, you only have to do it once.
Okay.
And in relative terms, it's not that big. It probably takes about the same amount of space as if you ripped a CD into an MP3 and stored it on your hard drive.
Yeah, it's not.
That's roughly the amount of space that it takes. So it's not gigantic in today's computer reference. And keep in mind, is something that I think should be mentioned, that the software is a free download. Mm-hmm. We don't charge for the software. It's free to go in the world. So it costs nothing to go in and explore.
And that's redlightcenter.com.
Correct.
So, why do you feel that there's a need for a thing like red light?
If I could, in the simplest terms, I think it's representative of the world that we live in today. We live in a world that's replete with instant message, cell phone, email, and on and on and on. And people don't have the time, the energy, to be able to connect as much as they would like to. Now, I'm not suggesting that they shouldn't still connect in real life, of course.
I was just going to ask that.
This provides that in-between opportunity for people that don't want to just sit in front of a TV and veg out, and that don't have the energy to go out every night to meet people or to play, that it's a very easy thing to, once you've downloaded the software, it only takes 2 seconds to go into the world, and boom, there's thousands of people there that, at any given night, any one of them could be there that you could have a wonderful evening with.
So may I ask both of you actually to respond to this one question? How did you come up with the concept? Where did this concept come from, and from your own personal experience? What were you missing? What inspired you? That kind of thing.
Well, I think, as I mentioned earlier, it really came about just in realizing the fact that the world that we live in needs something like this, needs the opportunity to be able to connect with people a lot easier in a whole different way. And, you've got things like MySpace, which are great, but really, do you really connect with a lot of people in something like that?
So it's kind of a
dating service.
It seems like a social networking arena as well.
It's a social networking type of thing that is taken to a three-dimensional live situation.
Sexual.
It's evolution.
Well.
It's evolution of the Internet.
Okay. Jezebel, did you have something to do with the creation of this and the concept of it as well, or have you come on board after?
I came on board after.
Okay, so what's motivated you to be so involved as to be actually at the level where you're, feeling that you can contribute to an interview on radio? Like, what's been going on for you since you started?
Well, I started off just as a user, just like anyone else, having fun, looking around. Creating the avatar and the profile and really, enjoying the privacy. Mm-hmm. And then, I started giving tours to new users. I started really getting involved with the activities and the events. I'm actually right now at this point within the world, the Justice of the Peace, and I actually performed the first gay marriage.
Oh, wow. Cool.
In there, the first gay wedding, which was a lot of fun.
Something
I would never be able to do in real life,
Have you found your experience online has helped you change in real life? Like, has it made you a stronger person? Has it made you more sexually aware? Like, and in what ways have you found it's changed you?
That's a great question. The bi-curiousness in me has been awakened because I've been able to experiment. And, you meet so many different people who are just like you, but you don't realize in real life because people are limited in what they say. They're afraid to say this and that for whatever reason. And, when you're on the Internet, you're anonymous. And you can say all the things that you want to say, and you wind up meeting people who are just like you. Or, I don't know,
It's really a community of like-minded people. People aren't there unless they want to be there.
Mm. Exactly.
Nice.
Well, this is great. I look forward to continuing our conversation. We're just going to take a quick break here at the half-hour mark, and we'll come back after this short break. Listeners, we welcome your calls during this time. Please call in with your questions or comments for Ray or Jezebel on Red Light Center, calling in from California. Get yourself on podcast forever. Call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Keep that dial locked to hear more. You are in Juice Box, featured on CITR, Vancouver's 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Cool.
Just one sec.
You ladies are wonderful.
Doing the engineering and it's not working. There we go.
Let me just say how great you guys are doing.
Afternoon of cutting down hung on a rail fence, a sad thing, so weary to cry. Dark's growing tall, he began to hear the pond frogs all calling on his ear. They were calling on his ear. They were calling on his ear with war, seeing their joy. Soon the sound was pleasant for a boy, listening in the smoky dusk and nightfall of Illinois. And from the fields two small boys came, bearing cornstalk violins. So they robbed the cornstalk bowls with resins, and the three just sat there scraping of the joy, of the joy they're scraping of. Illinois twilight making into dark in spite of a shoulder's ache. A boy's hunched body loved out of a stall, the first song of his happiness, and the song woke his heart to the darkness and sadness of joy. Dark was growing tall, he began to hear the pond frogs all calling on his ear. They were calling on his ear. They were calling on his ear with waltzing their joy.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, we're back, and thank you for tuning into Juice Box Radio.
Tonight, we are talking about cybersexuality and dating with the creator of Red Light Center, Ray Schwartz, and Jezebel. If you missed the first half of the show, you can get it on podcast by checking out juiceboxradio.com or citr.ca after the show. And boy, do I sound sexy with my cold.
Yeah, you
sound. I just realized I sound like Demi Moore or something.
You do have a bit of an interesting kind of tonation going on there, Caroline.
I do. I sound very, very sexy. I'm kind of in love with my own voice. Maybe I can add this to an avatar. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, I have to say, Jezebel, thank you for tuning in. I just realized that in my engineering expertise, which is not at all, I just hung up on Ray again. So
no.
Ray's going to call back, I'm sure. But in the meantime, we have you all to ourselves. So we'll just keep asking you the questions. And I'm sure having your perspective is just as valuable. So one of the questions that I'm curious about is, what would you recommend for setting up a profile?
Okay, that's a great question. You know, it's really important to make your profile, like I said before, an extension of yourself. Make sure that you say all of the things that interest you, because you're going to want to look for the type of people inside the world that you might not necessarily be able to find in real life. You know.
So, in other words, be pretty specific as to what you're looking for and
exactly.
Who you are. As opposed to being wishy-washy, like, I just want to meet somebody. But
right. You don't want to just go in there and just, you know, approach every single person you see and say, sex me? Can we have sex? You know, or, you know, it's a chat room. It's a virtual chat room. And,
okay.
You know, you want to conduct yourself in the same way that you would anywhere else.
I'm not sure.
In a regular club.
I'm not sure if we know what that's about, but I know that we have Ray back on the air, so.
Indeed.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
So you would perform and or behave or speak about the same way that you would in a club? Is that what you're suggesting, Jezebel?
It depends on your personality, really. You know, the beauty of a place like Red Light Center is everyone is different. You know, it's the same as real life. You're going to find all different kinds of people, all different walks of life.
So in other words, could you have more than one profile, basically, like, say, one where you're very dominant, for example, and one where you could be the cute little sexy schoolgirl who, you know, is very submissive and very sexy and likes being spanked.
Absolutely do that.
So you can have two going.
That's a great idea. I should do that.
I could give
that's a good idea. I think I'll do that, too.
Caroline's full of good ideas. She's really good about those things. She gives me good ideas. I've been doing this show for over 3 years and been a sex educator for 8 years, and she's just like, she comes on the show, like, you know, a few months ago, and she's filling my head with fabulous ideas. So.
Oh, it's because I'm a pervert, and you know it, so.
Excellent. So I was going to ask, what kind of services are there on the Red Light Center? Like, what? Just sort of walk us through what somebody might be able to enjoy.
Oh, wow, there's just so much for all different sorts of people. You know, you have something as simple as a club called Blues where all your avatars can go in there and dance. And, you know, there's all these different dance moves, and it could be a lot of fun. And, you know, people are talking while they have their avatars dancing, and there's live DJs. Like I said, you had weddings, scavenger hunts. There's so many different things. There's pageants.
Are there, like, people can get, like, I guess, I mean, it's a virtual thing, so I suppose people can just sort of try to imagine themselves there, getting the massage, you know, getting, you know, the pedicure, the spa treatment, three hot girls or hot guys kind of working on them at the same time as far as treatments and things like that, but I can imagine.
The spa is coming early in the new year.
Oh, the spa hasn't come. That'd be my fantasy.
Mine would be being a stripper, actually, but...
I'm sure the stripper. I've seen a few of the stripper things. I perused through Red Light Center and saw some girls doing a strip show and stuff like that. So, I'm sure you could be a stripper. That'd be pretty easy.
Yeah, but you can definitely be a stripper.
I teach pole dancing for fitness in real life, so as well.
Trying to imagine myself being massaged or worked over by three different people at the same time. It really takes a creative mind, though, I think. And is it really?
I've had that happen in real life, so I don't have to pretend.
Is it? Oh, so you can just bring it back, Caroline.
I can bring it back.
Okay,
I can visualize it. So. What types of fantasies would you say are pretty standard? I know mine are all over the place, but I'm just curious. You're mentioning about the threesome is a pretty common one. What are ones that you find that a lot of people tend to like besides threesomes, besides exploring by curiousness? More than one partner. I'm just trying to think of just some ones that are classic. Possibly the rape fantasy, because basically it gives, I don't know, my experience in terms of the rape fantasy, it's more about basically letting somebody else take control so you don't have to be responsible right. for your own actions.
Yeah, you have rooms in there that are especially equipped for like BS domination and stuff like that. And it's all about the consensual, the consenting adults. And it's you can really go far with that. But I think the standard thing would be, believe it or not, one-on-one.
Okay.
I've noticed a lot of people, they meet, they find somebody that they really liked and they go in there one-on-one and they have themselves a really good time. And, the greatest thing about being virtual is you can be a slut and you can be one-on-one with a whole bunch of different people at all different times.
And not worry about HIV right. or anything.
You don't have to worry about it,
Yeah.
And that right there lets you explore.
Have you ever met anybody offline, either of you, that you've met online?
I have not.
Ray?
No, I haven't. I have to admit that as much fun as I have in there, usually when I'm in the world, I'm looking at things that I want to change, improve, enhance, and having said that, I have a lot of fun in there as well.
Yeah.
And I have certainly had my share of sex in there and partied and...
I'm going to ask the next question is, what was your favorite time that you... Yeah, one of your favorites. I won't say the favorite because that's really hard to say, but for each of you.
Jez, go ahead.
my hands-down favorite experience in there was performing the gay wedding. That was an experience that was beyond anything that I would ever be able to do in real life. But other than that, I like dancing. I think it's a blast.
Yeah, dancing is really a lot of fun because the motion capture is so realistic.
Mm. It really is.
If you pick the right sequence of moves and everything, you watch some of these dancers, and we've had dance contests, and some of these people are really phenomenal. I've enjoyed things as simple as hanging out in the jacuzzi with a whole bunch of other people, and you get naked and hop in the jacuzzi and just socialize.
You have a whole bunch of naked avatars who look so real hanging out in a hot tub, and then you play Truth and Dare for a couple of hours, and you wind up realizing, wow, I've been on the internet for 10 hours straight, and you don't even feel like it. You're just having so much fun. So I've never really thought about going that extra mile to even have to really meet anybody in real life, because I'm having so much fun in that.
And so this is where the interview, for me anyway, turns to a different element around human nature. And I'm just curious, I'd like to hear from both of you. Do you think that this is actually a service to society, and how do you think that is?
Well, if I could jump in quickly and say I think it's a humongous service to society on an innumerable amount of levels. First and foremost, it's an opportunity to have fun in a whole new way and expand your fantasies. On another respect, you've got a lot of people that, for whatever reason, can't or don't want to go out and do things, but still want to be social.
Hmm.
And this provides that gap, that opportunity for them to be able to do those things. Because people that are there are looking to connect and be friendly and have fun, and there's always plenty of people around to connect with. And I think that's something that you don't find too much in the real world.
Hmm. It gives you a chance to do things like if you don't feel up to it or you don't feel confident enough, it gives you actually that human connection that you feel that you're not getting.
And the opportunity to do things that you're curious about trying and for whatever reason don't want to try in the real world.
Yeah.
Maybe you're married and you're not really
satisfied.
Getting the kind of connection that you need, and this provides it without having to destroy the marriage.
I guess what scares me about that, and I just wanted to ask, is because I know myself, if I'm dating what I call a Mr. Wrong, just in regular life, even if I'm having a lot of fun with him, sometimes that prevents me from getting involved in a relationship that could be satisfactory in so many different ways, because I'm getting sexually satisfied somewhere. I guess I just get concerned in terms of that. How does that affect people who are doing it online, where, because it's, I can just see intellectually just totally falling in love with somebody on that level, even if you've never met them. And how many people in terms of that, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to figure out the best way to phrase this question, in terms of the addiction factor, of becoming addicted of who they are online. And
in love with somebody who, falling in love with somebody who doesn't, yeah, because there's chemistry when you meet somebody. That's I don't think is possible virtually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's hard to get that, because Ray, you were mentioning that there was that couple that got married in real life a couple months after meeting online. You mentioned that at the beginning of the show, which I'd consider that a success story. But in general, how often does that happen?
You know, success is really perspective.
That's true.
For some people, getting married is success. For other people, having a satisfying sex life is success.
But if it's a cyber sex life versus...
Really, what's the difference? It all happens in your mind anyway.
Oh, well, I bet
you're
different.
You're giving of being involved with Mr. Ron just to be able to achieve. You're able to take something that you might be afraid to do in real life and try it out on the internet. I mean... You get to try on marriage beforehand. That's pretty cool.
I beg to differ with both of you around what you're saying, and with all due respect, I don't agree that is the same thing, being married cyber-wise or having any kind of relationship cyber-wise and one that's in real life. And or sex life, and or sexual experience, the one that you create in your mind versus the one that you have with another human being. I think there's quite distinctive differences on physiological levels.
And I think that it's not about choosing one or the other. It's choosing whatever is best for you at that particular point, or melding the two together and how it works for you. And let's face it, nothing is for everybody. Some people only want a realistic situation, and if they can't have that, they don't want anything. But given on the success of people's fantasies, as evidenced by the sale of any adult material, as evidenced by the fact that the way the world works.
Right. So I just want to return to the question about the service to society thing. This is sort of a larger question that I want our listeners to ponder as well, and that is, what do we see the cyber world, and even the phone sex lines that was before internet, how is that actually serving us and having us learn how to be with each other in relationship and in intimate times and spiritual connection and all of those things? My question that kind of wants to go deeper there and sort of see if this really is serving society. Do we really, are we really benefiting in the long run, isolating ourselves into some world that doesn't really exist or only exists in our mind?
I think that there are a lot of people in these times, in these days, who are afraid, really, to go out and look for certain types of people in their lives, and to be able to provide them with a service where they can actually meet people. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you or I would have fun and then, you know, sign off and go do our real-life thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people who don't have that real-life thing, so this is a service for them to be able to open up and be able to actually meet somebody who they might potentially... at some point, you know, in time, meet in real life and be able to move on. But, you know...
That's interesting that you're saying that, Jezebel, actually, because what you're saying is that it gives people a chance. So the service I see and what I'm hearing you say is that it gives people a chance to actually try stuff on and get some courage around it, get some creative ideas and some response from other cyber people that are responding, and then try that out in real life. But what I'm hearing and what I believe, anyway, my bias, is that it is about trying these things on in real life. And, you know, the cyber world gives people a chance to sort of get warmed up around it or get some experience around it, but eventually we want to actually connect with others.
I totally agree with you. I think there's another element as well, that there's a lot of people that for whatever reason don't have that opportunity, either because of the way they look or their age or the fact that maybe they're in a loveless relationship and they're together because of the kids. There's all kinds of situations where for whatever reason people can't really attain what you're discussing is the ultimate thing that most people want.
Well, I'm not even saying ultimate, but I am thinking a little bit deeper on what we're talking about right now and realizing that, you know, the mind has the power to heal the body. And so for people like what you're saying, you know, that feel that they're too old or too overweight or too, you know, far away from any city where it could ever be possible, that they actually get the physiological benefits by engaging themselves in a world that doesn't exist or only exists in their mind, like a cyber world, where they actually start to feel the physiological effects of bliss and pleasure and happiness and success and power and all those things.
So that's good service to the world.
Well, I think that is. That's what I'm trying to say. So, you know, hearing you two speak about this stuff and kind of adjusting my thinking around a little bit, I know that the power of the mind is huge. And so if you're super depressed and all you have is television and you're not being creative about what's going on in your life, and then you go onto the internet and you create this avatar that makes you feel really good and you engage other people and they respond to you, even though it's just in your mind, it's still going to have that physiological effect on your body and on your spirit. And so I think that does have a lot of benefit, and I haven't really thought about that before tonight, so I have to say thank you to both of you for sort of opening that up.
Thank you.
In my realm of experience. And so, I think, you know, that was, it's been a bit of a profound shift for me. I also think that it can be a danger, and that's kind of what I wanted to just address for people that are in a relationship or do have a family and are loved around them, and yet they only find happiness in the escape of the cyber world, and what that might be doing to the people in their lives that are suffering because they're being ignored and all those kind of things. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Or if they're
I think that's
animals.
You know, the responsibility of every adult to make those decisions and live their lives to the best that they can.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're
so
just there to make it better.
Yeah, and I think it's great, and I really do appreciate both of you calling and being so patient with my absolutely terrible engineering skills here tonight. So thank you both, and please, listeners, check out redlightcenter.com. Thank you, Ray and Jezebel, for your time tonight.
Thank you
You're
very
welcome.
Much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care. It was nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
Likewise. Wow.
All right. So, yeah, I think I really felt a bit of a shift there in myself going, wait a minute.
Yeah. So, I can understand where there's a space for that and how that can make huge benefits for some people.
I do worry, though. I do worry about the relationship, people that are in relationship and are having a loveless marriage, or, you know, I do have friends that are in really loveless marriages, and I hear about it all the time, that they have a sexless marriage, a very affectionateless marriage, and they're really unhappy and miserable, but they're staying together for the children. It happens. Like, I mean, it's happening today. I know people like that myself personally. So, you know, what is Red Light Center and other cyber worlds doing for those relationships? Not much, I'd say. Well, maybe for the individual person, it's benefiting them to escape.
As Ray was saying, it's good in the sense that each adult has to be responsible. And I think that was a really key point in terms of that. Mm-hmm. And so for somebody who's in maybe going through a crisis in their life, it may not be the best place for them to indulge in that at that point. They should look and see why they're going through crisis and take a look at their own relationship and try and heal things there.
And doing the deeper work that takes, you know, like the hard work that it takes to see yourself in relationship, what it is that you need to change, how and why and what and where and those kind of things.
That's
really doing that hard work, you know. Escaping into pornography or the cyber worlds or movies. I mean, I know so many people that just like live in this sci-fi world of movies and don't want to deal with their feelings and emotions. God, I do it. I know, me too.
Actually, I know you haven't experienced the whole online. I know you've played a little bit with the phones, and I've done the phones.
We're going to talk about that on the next show, because we have a whole lined up around Caroline's done quite a bit of the online dating, and I've done some phone sex dating. It was actually just for hookups. It was just for threesomes. I wasn't looking for a relationship. I was just looking for sexual encounters, intimate encounters. And this was was about 8 years ago before the internet was really quite big. So, and I think you've had some experience dating online.
I've had some dating experiences online. It's been very entertaining. When I used to write my dating column, I did, and I forced, you're lucky I didn't force you because you were in a relationship at the time. So I didn't force you, but I did force a lot of my friends to do it.
And, to just check it out and have different personalities.
Well, not only that, just, they all had to ask me to not quote them when we used everything in my column. So,
well, we're gonna talk a lot about that next time on Juicebox. But tonight we hope that Caroline and I offered you an insightful show. And thanks again to Ray and Jezebel of RedLightCenter.com for calling in and giving us your take on the cyber world of sexuality and expression.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I was just going to say as well, you've got to, please feel free to write to us. And as well, you've got to check out our blog, and there's a couple events coming up in town that I just kind of want to give you guys a buzz on. One of them is there is a lingerie pole dance show at Azure Lounge. That's on December the 4th, and Aradia Fitness is putting that on.
Aradia Fitness putting on. Oh, cool. Yeah. Pole dancing group.
It's pole dancing.
Very sexy.
Yeah. And pole dancing for fitness, and I'll be dancing in that as well.
Oh, my
God. So you get to see me. You might even be able to come in and actually get a lap dance for me. So
I was so
with
super.
With my clothes on.
Okay, I was so super excited. I went by the Aradia Fitness studio on 16th and Gravel last weekend and just wanted to say hello to Caroline because it was her birthday last week. Like I told you, she wasn't on the air because she had her birthday last Wednesday. Happy birthday, honey.
Thank you, darling.
And I went by to see her just because I didn't make it to her birthday and watched her do her pole dancing. Oh my God. I was starting to get really excited. I was like, okay, I obviously haven't been with a woman in a while. This is really turning me on. So, I mean, wow, Caroline, you have got some serious talent. Holy
I definitely met my sexy side. But if anybody is interested in coming out, you should come check it out. It's aradiafitness.com. And as well as that, there is another pole dance show, which this one actually, a whole bunch of my students have actually put together their troupe called Luscious Dance. And they're actually doing a fundraiser for Beauty Night Society, which provides makeovers for women who deal with violence to reintroduce touch. So they are doing their show on December the 14th, which Julia and I are actually going to be co-hosting that
show. We're going to be emceeing.
And emceeing it.
And it'll be so fun. The Juice Box Girls are going to be putting on quite a Beauty Night fundraiser show.
So you can meet us in person and check us out. And for that, that's www.lusciousdance.com.
Sweet.
And of course, last but not least, I forgot the event that's going to be in between, which has absolutely nothing to do with pole dancing, but everything to do with giving a head.
Yes, the blowjob workshop. The Juice Box Girls are putting on their very first live blowjob workshop. Yes, you have to bring something to suck, and we'll be giving you our best tips that we have.
It should be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So more about that. It's December 9th,
I think. It's going to be December the 9th.
Somewhere.
Location is still to be announced. It ended up being at my house with martinis, depending on how many people we get, because we're already starting to get quite a list of people.
I've already got about 10 that have sort of preliminarily confirmed. So.
And I've got another 4. We might have quite a few.
We're going to have to try to find a space. But please come. Please think about coming anyway, and it'll be very affordable. And your male partner, whomever he might be, will be very happy.
Very, very happy. Very happy Christmas present to get them.
That's right. So yes, Caroline and I will be back next Wednesday for another original Juice Box. We'll probably be talking more about online dating. And we didn't get to all of our great content tonight. We were just trying to make sure that in case Ray or Jezebel weren't going to call in, that we had something to talk to you about. So we prepared all this stuff. So we'll give it to you next week. So don't worry about that. And in the meantime, feel free to email julia@juiceboxradio.com with questions or things that you might want to have on the show, interests or areas.
Or to sign up for our How to Give Great Head workshop.
Or to sign up for the workshop. Yes.
And you can add some tips if you have any.
And if
we've got lots.
And if you sign up online on juiceboxradio.com, we will give you a discount on the workshop. So please consider that. And you can also listen to past shows, check our blog, keep up to date, all that stuff. It's all very fabulous.
Yeah.
So now I think the listeners that were listening to the beginning of the hour heard Hans Claus's Misery Hour calling and saying, it's too snowy, it's miserable, and I'm not coming out. So
no, we may end up having some sort of campus slumber party here, Julia, if we can't get home ourselves. So.
Well, actually, thankfully, my beautiful Dan drove me out here and is driving us home. So we are in the 4x4.
Awesome.
We will be returning home safe and sound tonight.
We'll have to sing Jingle Bells on the way.
So thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10
p.m.
Today, the U.S. president and the Iraqi prime minister under pressure to break the cycle of sectarian violence. But is time running out for Nouri al-Maliki?
He should really tackle the militias. He should really apply some sort of order to Iraq, some sort of justice. There's no justice when there's 120 people a day getting killed. And Mr. Maliki doesn't do anything.
Also coming up